Hi there, Dr. B here with your modules 6 through 7 clarifying lecture. There'll be no module 8 clarifying lecture because most people have moved on by this time, and so this will be the final one that you'll have for the term. I'm coming to you from the Association for Professional Behavior Analysts. Just as a quick plug for them, I found out yesterday that a student membership costs only $35. So if you want to connect with other people in the field and you want to increase your learning, they do have some Member Monday Zooms, things like that, that you can join. I highly encourage you to do so. All right, let's start with our announcements. You do need to get everything in by Monday at midnight. Now, I will be traveling, so I will be probably doing your final grades by Thursday, but if you're asking for a week's extension, I really cannot give that unless you've talked to me about an incomplete. The registrar is very, very strict about this. We have to get everything in very quickly. So please make sure that you have everything done by the end of Module 8. Here's your one last extra credit opportunity. Tell me what your biggest takeaway was from this course. All right, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that. All right, let's talk a little bit about your Module 6 Inner Teach, and then we'll talk a little bit about your Module 7 one. So the question about prompting without realizing, a lot of you did not get the idea of the delayed prompt. So the delayed prompt is the time between the SD and the prompt. So if I say, for example, what is this? I've waited before I say watch. So the delay is what we're looking for, not how you were prompting. I'm still seeing people saying positive as good, negative means bad, please stop doing that. Positive means to add and negative means to subtract. And you're probably wondering if you can forget about this when you're done with 619, and the answer is no, especially if you're taking EDSC 622, because you will see this again. These basic concepts you will see again in 622, then you'll start to apply them in 23, 24, 25. So it is absolutely critical that you have this stuff down as well as you possibly can. Based on that is also, I'm seeing a lot of explanatory fictions. Check that document. We don't know, we don't feel, there are no constructs like self-esteem that we use in behavior analysis. So it's very, very, very important that you stay away from explanatory fictions and teleological explanations. Consequences are not a bad thing. So I saw some people saying consequences and reinforcement. This is an incorrect term. Consequence is anything that comes after a response that changes its frequency. So a consequence can be a reinforcer or it can be a punisher. I'm also seeing people still reinforcing people. We can't reinforce a person, we can only reinforce behavior. Because again, if you change a person, you're reinforcing a person, you're cloning them. So reinforcing a person is making another one. Reinforcing a behavior is changing one specific behavior. Also, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that I saw within this module. So first things first, let's talk about wait times. As a field, we allow for amazingly long wait times. And I think that's important to understand as a clinician. And I give people this challenge all the time. Nobody's taken me up on it to my knowledge. But what I want you to do is that I want you to go to the Walmart, and when they tell you your total, so you can't do this at the self-checkout, when they tell you your total, just stare at them for 5 seconds and then reach for your wallet. And you'll see how long 5 seconds really, really is. It's a really long time. So keep that in mind when you're programming or when you're using delays to prompting. remember that feedback is an antecedent, not a reinforcer. And I think the book gets this wrong. So we've talked a little bit about the book gets a lot of things wrong. This is one of those things. Feedback comes as an antecedent for future behavior. So it's not really a reinforcer. It's an antecedent. Making sure that we remember that reinforcement cannot motivate. Okay, so motivating operations are antecedents that affect the strength of the contingency. Reinforcement, it affects the frequency of the behavior. A couple other things I noticed, feelings are behavior, okay? Feelings, emotions, they're behavior. They're things that happen under the skin. They're learned just as everything else is learned through reinforcement, okay? So feelings are not a special category. They're not, they can be antecedent sort of kind of. In some cases, we'll talk a little bit about ACT and relational frame theory later on, but for the most part, feelings are behavior. So if a feeling comes before a behavior, it's probably some sort of chained operant, okay? And the last thing is, and this is really important, if you think that you're a visual learner, an auditory learner, a kinesthetic learner, you are not. Learning styles have been thoroughly debunked. And so what we know is that people learn in different ways, but it's not a static thing. So you are not a visual learner. You might learn things with visual stimuli in one situation, you may have to experience in another situation. So if you're saying that, you know, you have a certain learning style, that really isn't a thing. Okay, so that's really important. All right, let's talk about module 7. So let's talk about a little bit about group contingencies. One of the big things, and again, I think this is one of those things where the book kind of deviates from the mean a little bit, is that even with group contingencies, you are still reinforcing behavior and not the students. So you are not reinforcing the group. You are reinforcing the group's behavior, the group's responding. Again, if you reinforce the group, you've now doubled the size of your class, okay? So you are reinforcing some sort of behavior, whether it's in-seat behavior, math facts, complex responding, whatever it is, those group contingencies still are reinforcing behavior. Remember that we are using reinforcement to change discrete behaviors. We're not trying to control a person. And so a lot of you were talking a little bit about Skinner's counter control. And something to keep in mind with the way Skinner writes, and he does sometimes deviate from, you know, best practices, but this was 1974, so, you know, keep that in mind. When Skinner is talking about counter control, he's not talking about a person. He's talking about a discrete situation. So a person might be exerting control over a specific behavior. They're not trying to control a person. And that pushback that's given, that kind of is the hallmark of counter control, is for a specific response. Okay, so that's really important. I'm still seeing a lot of reward and reinforcement. Remember that reward is something nice you give for nice things. Reinforcement strengthens responding. And remember that you can't earn a reinforcer. This drives me crazy. So individuals who are engaging in specific behavior are not earning reinforcers, okay? You can't earn a reinforcer. It's a relationship. It's a stimulus that happens after a response that increases its frequency. So to say somebody's earning something implies some sort of conscious effort, which is not necessarily needed in behavior analysis. So really be careful with your terms, because you want to make sure you're staying away from coercive statements. And in 623, you're going to read a book by Murray Sidman called Coercion and Its Fallout, where they're going to really talk in detail about how behavior analysis looks at coercion. Let's see here. What did I miss? I want to talk a little bit about peer modeling and peer tutoring. So a lot of you talked about you want somebody who's conscientious, this and that. Remember, those are constructs. You got to define them. You know, what behaviors does that individual exhibit that would make them a good peer tutor? But also keep in mind that some of you were like the best student in the class. And honestly, look at the behaviors that you are looking for this individual to display, rather than looking at, are they good? Because honestly, some of my best peer tutors were kids that were getting suspended all the time for problem behavior. But in this discrete environment, there were a ton of reinforcers for being a peer tutor, doing peer tutoring. And so I didn't see the problem behaviors that other teachers saw. Maybe there was a little contrast effect. I don't know. But really look at specific behaviors that you're looking for, not necessarily characteristics. Okay? All right, I think that's it. Have a great rest of your spring. Enjoy your spring break. This is the first time in our online courses that we have given a spring break, so really enjoy that. Best of luck. Thank you for all of your hard work, and we'll talk to you soon.